Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. Thank you so much for being with us. My name is Pamela Modena. We're going to be here until 10 today. And as you know, it's a Tuesday edition of Point of View. So we'll have our book feature today. We're going to be speaking to Dr. Sipho Motlala, who is going to be in studio with us. He's released two books, so that's really something to look forward to. But we're really going to start here. I beg your pardon. It's Sipho Motlala. He's going to be in studio. He is a professor at UJ. And so we're going to have a wonderful conversation around two books that he's just released. But we're going to go back to a story that we started having a conversation about yesterday in Soshanguve, unfortunately. You know, the murder of community patrollers really shook everybody. And the circumstances thereof, of course, there are still very, very early investigations. The Premier yesterday promised that there will be a push to try and arrest some people within the 72 hours. On the line with us is Police Minister Senzo Mkhunu, who went out to Soshanguve today at that Mary Me community to have a conversation with the minister. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and good evening to the listeners.
Minister Mkhunu, why was it very important for you to go and meet the community in person today?
No, firstly, what happened there, my imagination and understanding was that people are traumatized because of the sheer nature of the incident,
yes.
The brutality that was involved, and some of the people in the community saw the bodies. It was really bad and quite shocking, and therefore people needed to. We needed to see them explain, go public and explain. But the other reason was to see the families themselves that are even more affected. But the third aspect was that since other suspects are still at large, people are afraid and they're living in fear in terms of where they are and what is going to happen, especially with them. So we needed to give them some understanding of what is happening and where we are, hence our visit, but also to understand some of the issues behind and background leading towards that event, meeting councillors as we did and Premier of Gauteng.
Obviously, this issue brings into sharp focus the broader issue. So we don't even have to stay with this particular case and its merits. But obviously, the broader issues of, you know, community safety in general, particularly in informal settlements, where you have a community which has responded quite positively to some of your requests, in fact, in forming some sort of collaborations amongst themselves. These community patrollers obviously were people who were hoping to do something about the crime in their community. It's now ended in a situation where there's speculation around criminals themselves being better armed than people who are seeking to assist the state in securing our communities.
Yes, you are pinpointing the real issues part and parcel of the whole problem. Yes, we do want people to collaborate. We do want people to be active on crime, taking their stance against crime. We do want that, but we know that people often complain about trust deficit between us and them. We do want people to take a stand, but as I speak to you, there is no replacement of building trust. We know it won't be in a day. But we do need to build trust, especially from our side, but also from the side of the community themselves. But on criminals being better armed, there are people who want that. There are people who are trying to do that and sometimes even display that. But I do want to assure the public and yourself that there would never come a stage when they are better armed. They can compete at one point or the other in a particular scenario and sort of, you know, escape with it. But overall, all the time, there's no way they will ever be better armed than the state. Mm-hmm. And we are prepared. We are changing a number of things because we count on everything that has happened, that we have used in terms of fighting crime and how we have been doing it. And we want to build on that and not discard, but build on that and better the situation. We're very stringent objectives in this administration that people in all communities must feel safe. And that's quite a task to accomplish. But we are prepared more than we are what we are saying here to change things on the ground.
Except you did mention the fact that the issue of illegal firearms is becoming quite a topical issue amongst your counterparts as well as your colleagues in the police. So you are having this conversation with the generals, and there is some sort of an acceptance that we are looking at an influx of illegal firearms in the country.
When we had a conversation in November last year and in other subsequent events towards actually implementing the outcome of earlier discussions, we did mention that murder is unacceptably high. And it can't continue. We can't continue with this kind of situation. Illegal. We speak about firearms that are too easily accessible, whether legal or illegal. But we're more worried about illegal ones. And then we spoke about drugs. Mm. Now these we have said 2025. We want to make substantial progress on these matters so that people feel safe, because the concern throughout the Republic emanates from these three in the main. Mm-hmm. People fear or anticipate murder when they go to sleep, when they go out, when they go to shop and so on. They have got that feeling that we might be attacked and we might be killed. And then illegal firearms, too many of them. And then three, when people sort of swim in drugs, as it seems to be the case, you don't know what they will do thereafter. It becomes a problem that is very unpredictable, and therefore it is an issue.
Minister, the issue for those who've been following just generally the level of crime in the country and the responses to crime is that even if you wanted to, you do not have the capacity to put one cop to one citizen. It's not possible. There are no budgets for that. It's just not possible. With the intervention that is currently in place in Soshanguve, I know that you've deployed more police. There will be more police visibility. But can we talk about something that's more sustainable? Because we're talking about Soshanguve today. Tomorrow we'll be talking about another community. So how sustainable are these interventions that come in at a time like this, which is necessary, but in general, how sustainable are they?
It is true. More vehicles and more personnel has been deployed as of shortly after the incident. Yes. But on sustainability, you would recall that in Gauteng, where we have three metros who have metro police, we have signed an agreement which is being operationalized to augment capacity that all of us realize it will take ages to build up to a level where we have it. But we're not going to wait for that when people are dying and are falling victim of criminals on a daily basis. It was for this reason that we did so. Mm. Now, secondly, what Premier of Gauteng was briefing us about is that the three metros have since developed synergy plans, and they are at an advanced stage and they are ready to launch they are synergy, meaning that almost no boundaries between these three metros when it comes to policing, and that's a plus. But you will know that there are a lot of resources that have been planted into security by Gauteng and choppers, vehicles, and extra personnel that are called law enforcement. The little hitches that are there, especially on traffic warders, is something that we are removing in a matter of days, so that we exploit the whole of this capacity that we have. And I do want, therefore, at this stage to say SAPS itself, we are reviewing the structure when where it relates to the combat side of SAPS, and even though it won't be the numbers that we would love to have while we are augmenting, but that is coming, plus this capacity from the metro and from the municipalities, and so from the province and from the metros. And we are saying we just about have it all, the capacity that is necessary to combat crime. Remember, a huge majority of people in Gauteng are law-abiding and they don't want crime, including private security companies that are collaborating and other private firms. All of them are ready and are cooperating, which is a plus. And there's no way with all this capacity we can complain about more capacity, except if we don't want to combat crime and then want to put excuses. It's a question of synergizing, which we're doing in the next few weeks, not exceeding two, unravel all the hitches that are there, and then create something that is sustainable.
You've let us in into one of the suspects who's been who has been apprehended, that this is an illegal immigrant. And of course, I literally could hear the room move when you mentioned that. And you did mention later on that, you know, you are going to be in conversations with your counterpart in Home Affairs to really deal with these border management issues, that you have to find a way to deal with, first of all, accounting for people who become criminals that are not known to the system.
It's a huge issue, far more than we are talking about it. If you calculate the losses, I mentioned earlier in another interview that just that incident in Soweto where a small child was raped and then hacked to death. Yeah. Then if you want something painful, you can't have more pain than we experienced when we went through that incident. Look at this one today. Look at the mayhem it leaves behind. People crying for their relatives, imagining that these people would be alive had it not been for this incident and all of that. The benevolence on the side of these people who were joining others to fight crime in that area. So the loss and the trauma and everything else that goes with it is unimaginable in terms of size. And therefore, you come back to say, who is this? It's an illegal, it's an immigrant. On looking further, it's an illegal immigrant. Somebody we don't know at this stage when he came in and how he came in and what for. And how, I mean, we know that our borders are weak, and therefore we can't join the community ourselves and continue complaining and complaining. We have power to use. Whatever extent of, but we have legitimacy, we have mandates, we have everything. It is for this reason that we have said to the Minister of Home Affairs, now let's come together in a closed session. Let us really focus, and I do know they're just meeting AXA the other day, meeting the BMA the other day. We got a lot of information, and of course, SAPS. And it isn't that we are helpless in terms of these borders. And I was saying a few days ago, a week or so ago, we were in Limpopo for policing work. And we couldn't, you know, help seeing three buses coming in, asking questions, where are they going, are going to Johannesburg, and getting told these buses are going to go back almost empty and others will come, other full loads, straight from Harare in Zimbabwe and all of that. Now, if you bring all these people on a daily basis, on the basis that, no, they have papers, they have permits, what are we doing? We need to ask ourselves that it's a question of the system itself looking like a thief, and it can't happen all the time. We've got to do something about it to tighten up. Otherwise, we are exposing everybody in the country to not just danger of criminality, but to murder. And that's our crime number one, that we need to fight against drugs and then illegal firearms. That is what we are taking up.
We believe, Minister, that two other people have been questioned by the police. Is there movement there? I mean, you don't have to give us the detail, but are they cooperating?
Well, we were told that they are cooperating. Even the first one who is arrested, although he changed his stance this morning, yesterday, to say he now wants to continue this morning. Originally, he was saying he is ready to confess and so on, but he did confirm that he was on the scene. He just said he wanted to give more details. But some of the information that police got is the information that was useful as a pointer to the two others. And we're hoping that in the course of time, we are going to get something positive in one form or the other, if not ending up with their arrest. But we are gunning for all of them that were involved, all five or six of them that were involved. There's no way they are going to escape. We want them. We want to get them, definitely.
We obviously have speculation around the motives of the crime. And you, I'm sure, have been hearing on the ground, the community senses that the motive was to, you know, shut down this community policing forum. How concerned are you about that? That you have people who are undermining the efforts of a community, including the law enforcement, by the way, who are undermining the efforts of everybody who wants safety to come with this horrific act. And I think we've seen it in other communities as well. How concerned are we that we have such organized intent in undermining our efforts to stay safe?
Totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable that anyone who takes a stand against crime, whether as an individual or a group, and volunteer their time, their services, and join others, even if they are just volunteering, like these ones were doing, without getting formal recognition as PCFs and as all of that, just the mere stance, just like yourself talking the way you are talking, that you then become or get targeted for, unacceptable that you get targeted for that. Unacceptable. That's why we're going to spare no moment, not only in apprehending, but in intensifying our fight against such people. And we say we're fighting crime and criminality, but it's getting to a time and a period where we are fighting those who are behind crime and criminality in the country. And this we want it to be felt, that we are really fighting both crime and criminals at the same time.
It's an unfair question, but when you were in the midst of a community, you know, as you said, facing such trauma, Did you get the sense, and earlier on we spoke about this deficit trust that would need time to build. Did you get a sense that people are hearing your pleas when you say we are here, not necessarily as government, but as part of you, as part of your humanity, that we are here to support you? Did you get the sense that they understand that you are here for support? They understand that there's commitment from government to get things better, or were people dismissing your efforts?
Remember, the context there was a meeting by us as three spheres of government meeting families that are in bereavement. Mm. And the situation was quite somber. Mm. And those people were sad. Mm. And there was no way they could show any excitement and all of that on meeting us.
Sure.
But despite that kind of context, there were signs when we got closer, for instance, shaking their hands, that there's a human touch, and we're being met halfway as opposed to just being shown a cold shoulder with anger and all of that. But we don't want to exaggerate it. Mm. The real test will be when we go back after all has been said and done, which is not going to take long. Once we implement our plans, that will sort of assess how people are meeting us. And we're pleading with them to meet us indeed, because without them, we won't succeed even in what we're doing. But just to tell you what other things that we picked up there, there are syndicates there.
Mm.
Some people are collecting money for water, collecting money for electricity, collecting money for various things, all of which are illegal. So that place has become a den for any kind of criminality and any kind of crime. And people have been sort of been driven to a corner where they fear everything and everybody. And are victims, literal victims, on a daily basis of such criminals.
And
that is unacceptable.
And that's the heart of my question, Minister, to say, you know, there seems to be this hopelessness all around. And I was wondering whether somehow when you see people face to face, it's moving the needle, because I'm assuming if that does happen, where there is a sense that there is some movement or commitment to getting things done, we can start building that trust again, and you will start seeing movement towards that relationship with the police rather than where we are right now.
I do believe, firstly, starting with our meeting with the councillors, with the police, with Premier, that we still stand a chance, no matter how small, to really turn things around and rebuild all the avenues of honestly being seen to be delivering on the safety issues for people, and with them on board and meeting us, provided what and we're talking about things that we are going through ourselves, that we've held this meeting and that one, and we see where we're going. But we now have to translate what we know, what we are doing, what is happening, into their side, so that they can see the impact and the results. For now, we are doing, we are saying, but they are yet to see these things in action, and therefore liberating them, because that's the word that needs to be used there.
Mm-hmm.
People getting liberated and feeling free in their own area where they are resident. I was even happier when Premier mentioned one piece of land that they have bought, the municipality has bought, just to relieve the situation of squalor in terms of density of informal settlements, which itself contributes in crime. And so on. But from where I sit, I did get a sense that we are landing somewhere, provided we are going to act fast and turn these things around.
Minister of Police, I really appreciate your time. Minister Senzo Mchunu,
thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.